bring in Gary Danielson, who used to, of course, work here at 1270 XYZ.
Our former colleague.
Yeah, and now with CBS, and of course does college football. And so, Gary, you gotten any emails or any calls from our area over the last few days?
Hey, Doug. Gary Danielson here, volunteering to play quarterback and wide receiver for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, we would love to get into the Lions situation, and maybe we can, Gary. Now, first of all, Gary, I have to admit, yesterday I was extremely disappointed in you, and I said so, but I did.
Me? I was figuring I'd call your show. You'd probably be the only two last sensible guys on earth.
Oh, please.
I think you know us a little better than that. But
when I went on Beckman's show, did you hear what I said?
No.
I think it's really big of you, Frank, to be discussing Michigan football so fairly, considering you're the voice of Michigan State football.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Well, I wish I could have heard that.
Gary, at any point did you say, maybe the horse is dead?
Well, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
Well, did you think that, okay, I've made my point, I've gotten my point across, maybe
I figured I still had 2 months to go compared to how bad ESPN and ABC banged the drum for the Big Ten this year. I figured I had 2 months free latitude.
Really? Okay, Gary, because, you know, first and foremost, I will tell you this, and I'm not trying to suck up to you.
We didn't bring it up till the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, see, but that was the problem. It seemed like the entire fourth quarter, that's all you talked about. And then, you know, and then I knew you were getting excited because when you said, and let's face it, Michigan's a second-place team, I almost hit the mute button. I said, okay, Gary, that's enough.
What's inaccurate about that?
No, I know you're accurate about it, but it was just, my God, what an overkill. Is Urban Meyer feeding you a script?
You know what? I'm available for presidential candidates to get them over the finish line if I'm that good, I gotta admit.
Well, but...
I figured you guys would understand this. Had you beaten Ohio State at Michigan Stadium, like that 69 Michigan team beat Ohio State, I'm sure that wouldn't have been fair for Michigan to have to play them again, would it?
Well, I mean, it's something, Gary, no, you know.
I would understand that winning it on the field is all that matters. And there were only two teams in college football this year that did not have to please voters, Michigan and Ohio State. They were ranked 1 and 2 for the last 6 weeks of the year. I don't know why, really. I mean, they were anointed 1 and 2. They were undefeated, and they deserved that ranking. I don't know how anyone knows they're the two best teams. I watch a lot of tape. I assume you guys watch a lot of tape.
Yes.
I'll bet you do. So, but I don't know who the two best teams are, and I'm sure no one else does. So I don't know how the Michigan argument goes that we're the only team capable of coming within 3 points of Ohio State.
Well,
I don't know how you can justify that argument.
I don't think you can, but does it really?
No, you know you can't.
No, of course,
no
of course.
No one knows that you're telling Michigan fans are telling the rest of college football that we're the only team capable of coming within 3 points of Ohio State.
I don't think so. I think that they're saying if they were always the second place team in the country. I mean, if Ohio State's the best team in the nation.
Well, if
Ohio State was the number one team in the country and Michigan was number two leading into the final week.
Into the final week. That's not true.
Well, they were number two. Well, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. They were third. They seemed to be in line to move up and didn't. They got leapt by Florida. And I guess maybe it is that you were very convinced or convincing in your opinion that Florida was more deserving of this shot. If we can't say it, how can you say it?
You grabbed the right word. Here's the word I would have used. That anyone, and this is why I disagreed with Kirk in the ABC ESPN drumbeat. My argument was that anyone was more deserving than Michigan. I would have voted Oklahoma over Michigan. Oklahoma got robbed, and they basically lost one game, okay? And I would have voted Louisville. I would have voted anyone other than Michigan because there was only one team in college football that had the opportunity to play their way into that game against Ohio State without having to please one voter. Not one voter. Okay? And I think Michigan had a shot there. They're obviously a very good football team. I think it's very short-minded or small-minded to think that the two best teams just happened to play in the Big Ten this year. I think that's very sweet. The Big Ten reminded me of the Big Ten Conference in the 70s, where Michigan and Ohio State played each other every year with the two best records, and they'd go out to the Rose Bowl and find out that the matchup for the rest of the country isn't quite as easy as the Big Ten.
Well,
I think it's listen, Michigan and Ohio State didn't mind having the sports reporters and ESPN and ABC have that clock running for a month into that game when the rest of the country sees about that. But the first time somebody else says something about somebody else, oh, my, does the whining start.
Well, it sounds like you feel compelled that you have it does. I'm just telling you how I'm hearing this, Gary, that it sounds, you sound compelled like you have to bang the drum for the SEC and the people that.
That's not, my drum was banging for college football, okay? My drum was, oh, wow, now we finally got to a game here because of circumstances where everybody had to stand up and look and say, oh, you mean there's another team besides Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and USC out there? And I think it's laughable, totally laughable, that people think they know who the best two teams are. I know football pretty good, and I think I know how to watch film pretty well. And if I can't tell who the two best teams are, I don't see how anybody else can do it.
I think what people in Michigan have a problem with, or Big Ten fans have a problem with, is that it appeared even after that game where Michigan didn't lose their ranking that it wasn't just people here in the Midwest. There seemed, again, they still stayed at number two, and that the consensus was, well,
they stayed at number three.
Well, they felt they were number two in the BCS after they lost
right
to
after
Ohio
that.
State.
And then
USC didn't play football anymore?
Well, no, but USC didn't, until USC played Notre Dame, Michigan, after Michigan lost to Ohio State, they still remained number two in the BCS rankings. They didn't drop. They were still number two after that game, after they had lost.
See, here's the way I look at it, Art. I look at it that the rest of the country really didn't give anybody else a chance except Michigan, Ohio State for a while. Then once they looked at USC, ABC and ESPN jumped on a new bandwagon. Bob Davies on the front page of the USA Today saying, I've watched college football all year, and I know the two best teams are Michigan and Ohio State. Then that course gets a little tired, and they go out to USC, and they watch USC play, and they go, you know, now that I look at it, I think USC is the second place, the best team in the country. Then when USC loses, they go, wow, what do we do now? And I think the rest of the country out there is saying, who anointed Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and USC to run all of college football? Now, my stance has been consistent on this, and you guys know this. I have been in the middle of this three times. I did the Colorado-Nebraska game, and you all applauded me when I said a second-place team should not play for the championship. I did the Oklahoma-Kansas State game, and you all applauded me by saying that a second-place team shouldn't play for the championship. Now, why all of a sudden, when I make the same stance, do Michigan fans whine?
Well, I don't think it's first of all, I don't know that I would classify
you
it as whining.
You want to take some of my anonymous phone calls the last 2 days?
I would say that they were probably – well,
we get those calls too.
Yeah. Is it whining, or were they just upset and felt that,
well,
that maybe
– here's the way I look at it. The SEC had five teams in the top 20. Florida played the other four, okay? Now, what kind of system do you have when the best conference in the country – doesn't have, according to the polls, doesn't have an opportunity for their team to play the national championship. Or, put it this way, an equal opportunity to play in the national championship.
I think the
now,
SEC...
this whole thing about number three and number four, I don't think anybody really cared who number three and number four was until USC lost. Once that happened, I think people stood up and said, all right, what should I do? Now, as a broadcaster during this game, I banged on this table at halftime and said, we are not going to talk about Florida's national championship until at least the fourth quarter. But I did prepare in case this happened, and I did it the old way I used to do when I did broadcasting with you guys. I put a yellow legal pad down. I put pluses and minuses on both sides, and I said, how am I going to make my argument? That's my job, okay? My argument was to kind of compare the best win to the worst win of each team, put it on a sheet of paper. I left the blank ballot up there for a whole series. I said, you make your own ballot out there. Now, it is a cop-out, guys, for me to not give my opinion. I'm getting paid very well to give my opinion. My opinion was laid out the way I saw it. If I convince people, hey, maybe I'm a good communicator.
Is your opinion, and this is what people, some people feel.
Curb Street,
yes.
No better.
Okay, but people feel like your opinion is influenced by who you work for.
Well, so is everybody else's, but that's not true. When I was working at ABC and ESPN, I got called in on the carpet because I was doing the national championship game and said I did not believe a second-place team should do it. They had their chance, okay? This is the same argument. I'm the only one that has remained consistent. My old partner, Brent Musburger, anointed Michigan as the second-best team. Then in the middle of the Notre Dame-USC game said, you know, guys, I have always thought a second-place team shouldn't play for the championship. Remember at the end of the Notre Dame-USC game? When, and then doubled back and said, you know, I was wrong. So I don't know where other people stand, but I have been consistent, and I'm telling you, if Michigan would have beaten Ohio State, I would be making the same argument because it is not fair. Strategy of a game is affected when one team only has to keep it close, the other team has to knock you out to get by you. That is not the way, and that's why Bo was against this thing. That's why Kirk Herbstreit was against a rematch before the game was played. In my opinion, Kirk's a wonderful broadcaster. My opinion was he was so wounded by the Steve Breston comment that he jumped on Michigan's bandwagon and wrote it.
That's an interesting take.
And plus, he's doing the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, he is.
Gary, this is from knowing you, because I've always had enormous amounts of respect for you. You know, we talked about it. I wish that...
You still circle the player before he gets the ball and says, well, you say, watch this guy, and he gets it.
Right, you know, and we always...
I can guarantee you there are as many people, Florida fans, that hate me as Michigan fans.
Well, you know, but it's...
I've done SEC broadcasting a lot different than it's been done down here for 10 years. And they're not used to the way I broadcast a game.
Well, that, I guess this is my point. And I've lamented this to Doug. Because you're now doing the SEC and CBS games, I don't hear you quite as often as I did, obviously, when you worked for ABC.
Right.
Just because the games in this region, obviously, are more important for what we do. But when I did hear you, it sounded like to me, and Doug brought this up, and I truly mean this, and what was disappointing for me was it sounded like, because it just went on and on and on. You had a well-thought-out opinion.
I think you guys are making this up.
Gary, I swear to God, honest.
I watched the tape of the whole fourth quarter, okay? And I, listen, you sound like those guys that say they knew what play the Lions were going to call every play.
No one knows that.
You're wrong, okay?
Well,
what kind of work I did, and I know what we did. I know exactly what we did.
All right, but just give me a chance to finish one sentence. All, because it is... Actually, Gary, this is now my show. So the thing I just want to say to you is that it appeared that you had almost an agenda against ABC, the Big Ten, and Michigan at times. I mean, it really came off that way, and I wanted to hear what you had to say, but I just thought it was just Florida overkill. I really did, and I think that's what people felt
really
like.
It really wasn't. Listen, Florida isn't even, I don't even know how good of a team they are. They're a gamer. They remind me a little bit of that Ohio State team that won the national championship that everybody thought would lose every game, and somehow they figured out how to win a game at the end. Nobody thought they could beat Miami, and they seemed to find ways to win. My argument is and continues to be that you can't anoint teams. No one knows who the best team is, okay? The sports reporters don't know. Mitch Albom doesn't know. Kirk Herbstreit doesn't know. Bob Davie doesn't know, and I don't know. And Michigan fans don't know. So you have to then go to a resume, okay? Now you're telling people that because Michigan beat Notre Dame, who I think is an emperor with no clothes, and they played Ohio State close, they deserve the national championship. Now I look at the schedule and say, well, wait a second. There's other teams out there that have a resume. Why aren't they being considered, okay? And I think that the college football deserves to have something more than they got. I have railed, and as I said, that they should pass rules that doesn't allow a second-place team to go. That's not there, so what do? You make opinions, okay? But it is interesting that the whole year goes by, and did you see, can you name me any player but a quarterback that plays in an SEC team?
Well, you mean like Percy Harvin or Darren McFadden. I guess he's a quarterback.
Who plays for Auburn? Who plays for Tennessee? Name me a couple players. See, it's out of the mind's eye.
Okay? Eric Ainge, Jason Swain.
Ainge is a quarterback. If you look at what dominates college football, it's ESPN, ABC. They wrote that publicity machine has rolled and rolled and rolled and has tilted the playing field, in my opinion. So now one time someone has an opinion on something different and everybody says, wow, do you want to know what it's like in the Big 12, Pac-10, and Southeastern Conference? That's what it's like every week from September to November 25th.
Gary Danielson here on the Big Show, 1270 XYT, the sports station. When's the last time you had a conversation with Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr?
Well, Michigan-Ohio State came a year ago. I respect Lloyd Carr. People can play out this stuff the way they want to. He's an excellent coach. I was one of his defenders when everybody was out. I'm a Jim Herman defender. I didn't think their defense was all that different this year. They just had better players than they did a year ago. They had a dominating defensive line, and Lloyd always does a good time with his football team, does a good job with his football team. However, coaches can play out their campaign the way they want to, okay? I think Jim Tressel was absolutely right on in the strategy that he did. For him to have to try to determine the national championship is not slick. I think to recuse yourself was absolutely right on. I think Urban Meyer played it the way he wanted to because nobody was talking about the SEC, and he said, hey, look at my team. We're a pretty good football team, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I think it's for Coach Carr to attack another coach over what somebody else says, I think is wrong. I respect Coach Carr, but I don't think he should jockey both horses.
Well, isn't it because Urban Meyer brought Michigan up? I mean, it was building his own case. He was tearing down Michigan.
Say anything he wanted to say.
Who do you think wins the national championship game, Gary?
Don't know. I have no idea. I would guess. Here's what my opinion is watching the Michigan-Ohio State game. If the same game was played with Louisville, West Virginia uniforms, everybody would have said there's no defense on the field. That's number one. Number two is two outstanding teams with one great player. Very similar to last year's team. Texas had the best player on the field. And when your best player on the field is a quarterback, they have a great chance of winning. So it's going to be very difficult to beat Ohio State because they have the best player in college football.
Do you think one of the things that has been brought up is the Big Ten, because they choose to end their season before Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that they'll change that? Do you think they might add a 12th team and try to have a championship game?
It's interesting because this is the first time a conference championship game has ever lifted a team into the championship. It's always kept a team from playing in the championship prior. The SEC coaches are irate that the Big Ten and the Pac-10 don't have to play this game. They're saying it's not fair. So this is the first time that the championship game has actually helped the team move up. And the only reason that happened is because USC nagged at the end. So I think every conference is free to pick their champion the way they want. But I don't think they're free to say, wait a second, this isn't fair. We didn't get to play Ohio State on a neutral field. You can determine your champion, the Big Ten, the way you want. You can. If you want to make a neutral field game, you can do it. You can pick the best two teams, have them play in the Ford Dome or in Indianapolis. The Big Ten chooses to keep it the way it is. I don't think after the fact they'll say, oh, wait, this isn't fair. Our guy played on a home field and you played on a neutral field. I don't see how you can have that argument both ways.
Well, Gary, thanks for your time. Thanks for your candor, as always. We appreciate it, and certainly I know a lot of people wanted to hear from you, and I know you talked to Glenn today earlier, so thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, bud. See you later. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Gary.